We're going to continue on this exciting topic of learning who we are, where we came from, what family we belong to, all the way back to the seed of Adam into the seed of Christ, where you are born from. We're born now, we're born again of Christ, but we were born first time of the family of Adam. And this subject is really important. I believe it's foundational to understanding why God had to do things, how he had to operate within the world, and eventually why you have to be born again. Why it's so important for someone to be born again, to say the sinner's prayer and be born out of the family of Adam and into the family of God. So let's begin with one of our foundational verses on this topic, Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. And that's the verse, part of the verse we want to study and look at. And thus death spread to all men. So because of one man, sin entered the world. So we know this is Adam, in Adam's agreement to settle with the devil, to step into sin, that because of that, sin entered the whole world. Every man born after Adam, every man born from Adam, was born with the nature that Adam had. So the little topic that we were really trying to focus on, which is really, in my eyes, a great big topic, and that is that Adam was a seed, the seed of all men. That we can take you or myself or any person of every color, of every country, and we can actually trace the lineage back, all the way back through Noah, eventually to Adam. All of us are born the first time from that family. So Adam was the original seed. That's a huge thing to understand, that all that you had to work with when you were born was what you got from your family from Adam. And that was a nature of sin. You were born into a corrupt family. The nature of sin was given to you from your great-great-great-great-grandfather Adam. So the whole human race has come through Adam. Now we did look at the verse before where God breathed into Adam, and that's in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul, a living being. This is when God breathed life into Adam and really created the human race. Now, you'll see many things on the world, on TV, that we're all the children of God. Well, technically, God created us, but we were created in the image of God from Adam. But when Adam sinned, the seed was corrupted, so no longer belonging to God. So yes, God breathe life into mankind, but he gave mankind the ability to reproduce, to recreate. And let's read that in Genesis 1. And these are important because when we can understand how God created mankind to exist, you understand where you came from. And that helps you to understand why you must be born again. It helps you to know who you are now and who you no longer are because you've been born of the family of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, him, male and female. He created them. So in Adam, God formed Adam, and Eve came from Adam. But God created man with the idea of having a woman so that together they could procreate. But they were made, Adam was made, in the image of God. Perfect, holy, righteous. Adam was as perfect as God is perfect, as holy as God is holy. That's why God now because of the blood of Christ, you're able to walk with God, not because you're perfect, but because the blood of Christ has made you righteous. Because you're cleaned by the blood of Jesus, you're free to fellowship with God as Adam now fellowshiped with God. And in the beginning, God created Adam perfect in his image. He was as holy as God is holy, and God walked and talked with him. God has wanted to do that with you and with I. Unfortunately, much of the church world has a distant relationship with God because they don't understand how much he wants to be with them, but also he made a way through the blood of Christ for us to fellowship with him again. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So he gave Adam and Eve the earth. He gave the world to them and said, this is yours. I want you to subdue it, take it over. But then he says this, be fruitful and multiply. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. God's plan was for Adam and Eve to multiply, to make children who were just like them, perfect and pure and holy and righteous, as perfect as God was perfect. And for God to fellowship for each one that was created, each child that was born, is born with the free will, with their own mind, their own person. A child, even though they're young, that's an individual. It's amazing. They have their own world. I remember when Christy had Ava. Ava is her daughter. She's 13 at this time. And how she acted different than Harrison. Harrison is 3 years older. He's 15 right now. And Harrison kicked and fought and turned, and Ava wasn't as active, as aggressive. And you could tell their personalities way back then, even within the womb. The doctor, the moment Harrison was born, the doctor took him and brought him back, and he said to us, you need to take this boy and make sure you give him standards and rules and structure and a schedule. He said, this boy needs a schedule. And we were offended. Like, you just met him. He's not even an hour old. And what the doctor told me was that when he checked out the kids, when they inspect the children after they're born, they push and pull and on all the limbs and make sure everything's in place. And he said, out of all my years, and he was an old doctor, gray-haired, and all my years, this boy has fought me the most out of all the kids. And that's why he said we need to have him on a schedule for him to do well. And he was right. The little boy inside the womb had his own personality and his own plans and desires, even as a baby. And then growing up, he was strong-willed. Well, where did he get that from? Did God create him like that? Did God create my son that way? Well, God, those traits came from God, from that breath. But truthfully, Harrison came from me and his mom. So did Ava. They came from us. And so we're going to see this, that in being fruitful and multiplying, God wanted Adam and Eve, he designed them. He designed the human race to be like a seed that multiplies. And when you take a seed and you plant it in the ground, you don't have to talk to it. You don't have to coax it. You just have to give it water and fertilizer. That seed will grow, and it will have the ability within the seed to reproduce. That's why when you're kids, you take the little dandelions. That's that little yellow weed. And it turns from yellow to white after a while, and those little flowers on the dandelion, those little leaves turn into seeds. The seeds actually have a little umbrella, a little parachute attached to it, a little kite attached to the seed. So if you take and you just blow on that, the dandelion, all those little white seeds take off in the air in a cloud, and they spread all over the area. Some catch in the wind and fly off, and you have dandelions seeds all over the place, all over your yard. That's why you have to mow them down before they turn white. Otherwise, they'll multiply. Well, with every crop, with every fruit, with everything in life, it was created from the law of Genesis, it's called, where inside the seed, it had the ability to reproduce. Once it was created, it had the ability to reproduce. So when I go eat the orange from outside, I take an orange and I eat it, and it's so good. If I look inside the fruit, there's the seed. And if I look at the seed and I take it out of that fruit and plant it, it will produce a tree that will grow, and it will produce fruit, which will cause it to multiply. So God created oranges, but did he create that orange that I ate today? Did God himself speak to that orange 6 months ago as it was coming out of the tree and say, I speak life to that orange? So does God speak life to every orange, to every apple? Although he created the life and gave it life, did he speak to the orange that you ate today? Did he speak life into that orange 6 months ago? Is that the way the world operates? Well, no, he did not. He spoke life into the original orange designed it, spoke life into it. And now, since then, that orange tree has populated the whole earth. I can take the orange that I ate and I can trace it to a tree, and I could trace it to that tree, go back in time, trace it to a seed, and go back in time and trace it to an orange that came from a tree, that came from a seed. And I can go all the way back in time through the generations, and I'll get back to Adam. Adam in the garden, God created one tree, an orange tree, and gave it the power to reproduce. And from that one tree came every orange. He didn't actively create the orange that I ate today. That power for that orange to come forward was in the design of the original tree, the original seed that tree came from. And that tree produces the orange that passed down generation to generation and spread throughout the whole earth. And listen to the design that God gave to Adam in Genesis 1, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. That's why every creature created has a male and a female, so we can multiply. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Even with Noah, God took every animal, male and female, so that they could repopulate the earth after the flood. In verse 8 of chapter 2 of Genesis, the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. So God planted a garden and put man in that garden, and had planned for that garden to take over the whole earth, not just the trees and the fruit and the vegetables, but also man. Man was created like a seed. Adam was created as the seed for the entire human race. And once he created Adam, and then Eve through Adam, he gave them the power to procreate, the power to multiply. God is not involved with the multiplication. It was in the power of the seed. Just like the orange tree, God, you don't have to pray over it. You don't have to ask God to bless it. You don't have to do anything but plant it and let it have time to grow, and it will multiply and it will produce more oranges. Within that orange is another seed, the power to reproduce. It's like that when you go through mankind. You can look in your own history. You know, some families are very huge, and you just follow their history, and they have a reunion, and you're amazed how many people are connected all the way to grandpa and to great-grandpa. It's like, wow, there is a whole family line that spreads all over the world, just like the orange tree did. So in knowing that, the question then comes, if God didn't actively create that orange, the birthing of that orange and the existence of that orange, inside that orange is another seed for it to multiply. See, that's all in the power of Genesis. The law of Genesis is God spoke something into existence, gave it life, and gave it the ability to multiply and procreate. So every orange, every fruit, every tree, they all have seeds that come out of them. Every fruit has seeds. When my dad was wanting to do a garden, I remember taking a potato, and he just said, take these little things, they're called eyes, they're little things inside a potato. You just take the eye of the potato, and you stick it in the ground, and you take care of it, you take the weeds off of it, you build a little hill. That little seed of that potato will multiply. You know, you can just take a potato, if you want to, cut it in half and throw it in the ground, it will produce. If you find the eye, it'll produce a bunch of potatoes, not just one, multiple of potatoes. Well, we know that about farming, we know that about fruit, we know that about cattle, we know that about chickens, but that's also the same with the human race. We came into existence from Adam. We came to existence from the original seed of Adam. Adam had within him, and with Eve, Eve came from Adam, but had the ability to reproduce people. Just like an orange tree reproduces oranges, man reproduces man. Just take a man and a woman, plant them on an island somewhere, and go back in 100 years, there'll be a whole tribe of family from that one man and woman. Well, imagine that for all the thousands of years, all throughout the earth, man have multiplied and spread around the entire earth from one man and one woman. We are ultimately from Adam, the original seed. It was meant to be a beautiful world, a beautiful thing, but when Satan stepped in and deceived Eve and corrupted Adam, and Adam sinned willingly, then the seed of the earth, in fact, the whole earth was changed, but the seed of man, Adam, was no longer perfect. He no longer had righteousness in him. He had sin nature, darkness in him. So now the seed for the entire human race is dark and broken, and it passed that down. Every generation were passed down, and God gave them instructions to multiply. Let's read this again, Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. So they had the ability to multiply. And what I'm trying to get at is, where do I come from? I was in my mother's womb. Did God actively create me with his hands? Was he there sewing me together, knitting me together? I know the word talks a bit like that, but did God actually do that? Did God build me? Did he create me, give me my talents, abilities, my personality? Was I in heaven before I came to earth? There's some people who believe there's little babies in heaven and that are created in heaven, and when a body is created in earth, a little spirit comes down into that body. So the question in that is, what do we do when people are born broken, broken in their body, little babies twisted or handicapped? And did God choose which baby to put in, which spirit to put in which body? Well, when you understand the law of Genesis and the seed that man is, it erases all those questions. You came from Adam. You came from the family of Adam, who have the ability to reproduce. So you never existed. You weren't in existence. You weren't created. You were never in existence until your parents got together and created you. You were created by the law of Genesis, by the will of man. That means that I came into my family not because God chose to put me in my family, in my country. You know, that's a nice blessing if someone says, I just want to thank God for putting me in my family, in my country. I got the best country and the best family in the world. I'm so blessed. That's a great testimony. You can give God glory for that. But what happens if you're not born in the best family, or in the best country, or in the best body? Do you want to give God glory for that? Or did he just choose, I don't like you as much as the other guy, or you're strong enough to handle all this junk that I'm going to put you through, so I'm going to give it to you? Or was it by the law of Genesis? See, when you understand a seed is just planted and it grows. It grows and it produces more. That means that you and I came not by the will of God, that God chose for you to be born who you are, chose for you to be born in your family, chose for you to be born in your country, chose you to be born in your body. He said, I want you to be this color hair, this color eyes, this color skin. He did not put you there. You came all the way back from Genesis when God told them to be fruitful and multiply. The problem became only when Adam sinned and Eve sinned, because then the nature of the seed, the essence of the seed, was now dark. You were born by the will of man in a broken, dark family called the human race. And there's no rescuing the human race, or there's no fixing, the human race. God can't go into the human race and fix it. He didn't operate on Adam. He couldn't and fix him. He had to redeem mankind through Jesus and then allow us to be rescued out of the human race and into the family of God. So God could not fix the human race. The human race was destined to live and die and go to hell with a nature of darkness, a nature of sin. But God found a way to rescue us out of the human race. Not rescue the human race, but rescue us out of the human race. So in the world, when they say we're all children of God, that's not correct, because the man that God made, the seed, was perfect. But when Adam sinned, he no longer was a creation of God. He was more of a creation of the enemy, of darkness, and of the devil. Now, the seed of the family of humans were born of that seed, a seed that God did not create. So we can't really say we're all children of God. The only ones who could say they're children of God are those who are born again into the family of God. Now, as we're talking about this, the point of the seed and understanding this part of the seed is that everything came from that seed. Every human came from Adam. And so as a seed gets older in the world of the earth, not the world that God created, but the new world that Adam created in his sin, there's a twisting as time happens. There's a breaking down of things. And Adam, the first creation of Adam, was the best human, perfect, holy, righteous, ability to name all the animals. I mean, you think about the capacity he had. Some people say we'd only operate in 10% of even our natural capacity compared to Adam. And corruption begins to cause more brokenness and more devastation, just like when you have a bunch of houses built near a river and the river gets strong and starts to erode the shore and begin to eat away at the shore and the cliff. It moves closer and closer to those houses who are built on the cliff. But they were built far enough, but erosion began to get closer until the houses then begin falling into the river. So that's similar to the human race, into a broken seed, is that things become more corrupt and more broken as time goes on. And so when you go to the livestock, if you want to call a rancher and say, hey, rancher, I know you create beef for us to eat. Thank God for you. I appreciate you. I love my beef to eat it. But if you talk to him, you'll find out that within the cattle industry, there's a percentage of cattle that are born twisted or broken or unhealthy. There's a larger percent that are born healthy. But there's a percentage of cattle that are born broken. And if you talk to a farmer, he'll tell you what percentage of what he expects. Because cattle are like a seed. They're like a fruit. They multiply. And a percentage of them, they're within the DNA of the seed, which has been twisted over time, is now, there's a brokenness in it. And so if a baby calf is born with that broken DNA passed down from its parents, it is born deformed or broken. And so when we look at little children in the human race that are born broken, it's not because God chose for that child to be born that way. It's not God chose for that little person to be in that broken body. It's the law of brokenness that runs alongside the law of Genesis, that things become more and more deteriorated and things are passed down within the seed. So you got your mama's nose and your daddy's lips and your mama's hips and your daddy's hair. You know, you have all those things that you inherited from your family. You also, that's in the DNA that came from your family. You also inherited that nature of darkness. But thank God you were born again into children of light. Within the DNA, sometimes in family lines, there's a brokenness that came from the seed. So where did that brokenness in that child come from? Well, it came within the DNA of the seed somewhere. It's no one's fault. If you want to blame anyone, blame Adam. Don't blame yourself and don't blame God. You can blame Adam and blame the devil. But really, ultimately, it was Adam's sin that opened the door for all sickness and disease to begin to corrupt into the human race. And such sad stories when you hear little children born broken or with a disease or not well. It's every parent's prayer for a healthy birth and a healthy child. Well, that came from the seed, from the DNA of the seed, all the way back to Adam. It didn't come from God picking that person. Say, I'm choosing you. That's the bad stuff in the world. So we can believe that. Like, hey, you know, the first thing that happens when a child is born, you count the fingers and the toes. My dad, my earthly dad, he was born with no fingers on his left hand. Frank Robidoux, that's my earthly dad. My dad is Ken Taylor. But my birth dad was Frank Robidoux, and he was born with no fingers on his left hand. Well, don't you know the first thing my mom did when I was born was count my fingers and my toes, because it was a birth defect. Well, God didn't choose that birth defect. And now, because I'm a believer, I can break that curse and not accept that curse into my family because I have authority over that. We don't have to accept that. Faith changes those things. Without faith, things happen. And because of the law of Genesis and the law of brokenness within Genesis, that the seed of man was broken and disrupted, and that brokenness was passed down from generation to generation. So we know that imperfections and brokenness and sickness and disease and deformities and those type of things within the human birth didn't come from God's will. And that means that even the good birth didn't come from God's will. Again, faith of a believer can change all that within the womb. That also means that God didn't choose you to be a man or a woman. God did not pick you to be a woman or a man. He didn't pick us that way. That the law of Genesis done. Again, faith can change that. When someone comes to me and says, I would like prayer for a baby, the first thing we ask is, well, what do you want, a boy or a girl? Because let's put our faith towards choosing that. I mean, at least you have a 50-50 chance. But you can believe for that. And that's why we put our faith towards healthy births, no longer inheriting curses from the family or brokenness. Faith within your family can change that. But outside of that, the natural birth, the natural process of life, the law of Genesis, and with our family, the law of brokenness within the law of Genesis, meaning that the seed's been broken, but it's still reproducing. The seed that was designed to be perfect is now twisted and broken and passing down those things. So we inherited our bodies from our family, not from God. We inherited even our skills, our talents, sometimes our desires from our family. My birth dad passed away when I was 4, but there's a lot of personality traits that you can find in me that if you go back to my birth dad, Frank Robidoux, you'll find that I'm similar to him in a lot of ways. I gained a lot from my stepdad, my father, Ken Taylor. I've gained a lot of things from him, but I also received things from a man I don't even remember. The only thing I remember from Frank Robidoux is the day he died. But I inherited a lot of things physically, personality-wise, from him without remembering him. Well, that's the law of Genesis, that the good things are passed down, not just the bad things. So when someone wants to say, hey, I just want to thank God for my talent of being smart, my talent of singing, my talent for music, my talent for playing the sport, I just want to give God glory for that. Again, yes, God can go into the womb and plan things and design things. But most of what we receive is from our family, not from God intervening. God can intervene and place a talent, you know, and place a skill. But that has to be through the faith of man. It can't be from God just choosing, because then God would have to apologize to everyone else. In the law of Genesis, there's in that principle, there's a rule that God's not a respecter of persons. That means if he does it for one, he has to do it for all. If it's his choice, if it's him stepping in, it has to be equal for all people. So God would have to apologize to me for not giving me the singing voice, or apologize to me for not giving me the talents that I want to make me rich and famous. He'd have to apologize to me for that because he gave them to someone else. So talent and ability and skills and even desires, even portions of our personality, are traced back to the DNA of our family from the seed that we were born from. You were born and never existed until you were born by the will of man. Me and Christy, my beautiful wife, and I have created two little children that never existed before in the history of the world. You couldn't find them anywhere, any place, not in heaven, in the universe. They never existed. They weren't even here. And we, by our choice, by the law of Genesis, by the seed that we were given from our family, we created a creature called Harrison. And then a few years later, we created another creature called Ava. And those two creations that we birthed, that we brought to life, we brought them into existence. They weren't here until we chose to make them. Those little creatures will grow up and live for eternity, forever. We created two beautiful creatures, children, that will live for eternity. That's the power God gave to Adam and to Eve as a seed to not just reproduce, but to bring into existence creatures called people that will live for eternity. And God made man in that purpose. I'm going to give man the ability to reproduce. God did not create that man. He didn't create them. He created Adam, but he didn't create all the men that have come from him, all the women. And God's heart was for man to reproduce and these creations come to life and God come in fellowship with each of us the way he fellowshiped with Adam. To fellowship with a creature, a person that he didn't create, he didn't make, an individual that's so unique, their own individual, their own person, their own personality, their own desires and dreams, separate from their parents. And God wanted to come and walk with us and talk with us and fellowship with us individually and have that great, beautiful relationship. Again, how sad is it that today, then, now that we're born again into the family of God, out of the family of Adam, God wants to have the same walk and talk with us and fellowship with us as he did with Adam. That was the design. And not to wait till heaven. And that's why we have to have a healthy reverence for God, a healthy fear of God, yes, but not a relationship where we're distant and we're throwing him our offerings, but we're keeping our heart a distance from him. He wants to walk with you and talk with you. He wanted it so bad that he made a way for us to walk with him as if we're perfect and talk to him as if we're perfect before we were ever perfect. That's why we have the blood of Jesus to cleanse us and wash us as we go into worship. We came by the will of man. We were brought into existence by the will of our parents. So no matter where you're at in your family history, whether you like it or not, thank God for you being in existence. You were created. Every child that's aborted or lost in famine, every baby that's miscarried, every little infant that was conceived by the seed of man, listen, those little babies, they go right to heaven. And they'll have a chance to accept salvation like you did, but they were innocent. So those little babies, they went to heaven and grow up in heaven. And every child born, every individual, God wants to walk with us and talk with us. Don't look at your failings and say, God never wanted to talk to me. Yes, he wants to talk to you in fellowship with you. He doesn't want you to be afraid of him. Fear of God is not the same as being afraid of God. For a Christian, you should never be afraid of God. If you're not saved, you need to be afraid of meeting God without his nature in you. But fear of God is not the same as being afraid of God. Fear of God is having a reverence and a respect. And that's what he wants is, yes, we want to respect him, have a reverence for him, an acceptance of his standards for our life. but not a fear that afraid that we're afraid to go with him. He wants us to run into the Holy of Holies. He wants to go boldly into the Holy of Holies without fear of him, but yes, a reverence of him. So don't get those words mixed up. He wants us to fellowship with him. That was the point of creation of the human race. That was the point of starting that seed and giving it the ability, the power, the law of Genesis for that seed to reproduce without God making it reproduce. I know that he takes credit for us being knit and put together, but he didn't actually knit us as we were being created. Because then my dad, born with no fingers on his left hand, could complain to God, "You're a respecter of persons because you knit that person with all 10 toes and fingers, but you didn't knit me. What happened? Did you stop halfway? Did you just forget? Did you get busy and just leave that baby half built?" See, God did not do that. God did not build your body, your life, your family. You came from that family. You came from the law of Genesis. And within that, the law of brokenness, because the seed of mankind was corrupted. And then the seed still had the power to reproduce and rebuild. And so we're going to continue on this thought, because the more we learn this, it helps you to not blame God anymore for your trouble, but also helps you to be excited that you were at least born, and even more excited that you're born again out of the family of Adam and into the family of God. Because now that we're born again, our roots go through the seed of Christ, no longer through the seed of Adam. That's our new family history, our new family heritage, our new family inheritance. Within the law of Genesis, you are to inherit what came from the people before you. But within the law of salvation, the spirit of life, praise God, we inherited from Christ. All of our rights are because of who we're born of, not because we deserve it, because we've given enough for it, because we're faithful. Simply because I'm born of the seed of Christ now, out of the seed of Adam. Let's go continue in Genesis. We're going to go over to Genesis chapter 4. And we'll read about the family of Cain. This is the family of Cain that's talking here. Genesis 4, verse 16. When Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch, and he built a city, called the name of the city after his son Enoch. So here is Cain's family lineage. And I want us to see a few things here that are important in understanding the power of the seed. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begot Mahuliel, and Mahuliel begot Methusiel, and Methusiel begot Lamech. So here is the lineage that these guys got wives, and they gave birth, and then that baby has the same power to create another seed and to keep going on. And within man is the power of a seed, the same way it is in cattle, and the same way it is in fruit, and everything on the earth. Everything on the earth that was created, think about the amazing mind of God. Within his creation, he created these everything and gave it the power, without him touching it, to go on and on and on and spread and pass and on and keep going. That was the plan. Except when Adam sinned, the whole world, every seed was corrupted. Not just Adam, every seed, every creature was changed and corrupted within the sin of Adam. Amazing destruction. You want to get mad at someone, don't get mad at God. Don't get mad, even mad at your family. Get mad at Adam. You want to say, it's not fair, I was born in this country or this family. You're right, it's not fair. You didn't choose to be birthed. It wasn't your choice. God didn't put you there. You didn't even exist. But by the law of Genesis, by the power of the seed that was broken, you came into existence. And with that came all the good traits and the bad things too. And yes, we want to diminish and walk in wholeness with God. But you inherited so much from the earthly seed. That's why when you're born again, so many believers unfortunately live their whole life living out of the earthly man, what they've received from the earthly inheritance, instead of developing what they've received from their supernatural inheritance, their new birth. so many believers, they just changed going to church instead of going to the bar. And they live a good lives, and morally they make adjustments. But within them is this new birth, the new nature from a new seed that can grow up in the Spirit and can become amazing and do amazing things on this earth, impossible things, supernatural things. I'm not talking about sensationalism, but things that can only originate from the mind of God. That's your calling. That's where you're going to find your victory in your life, in your family, your health, in your finances. It's not in the natural man. The natural man can only go so far, and it can look good, but it can only lift so much. But for us to overcome all the world has and all the devil has, and to bring a real revival, we have to go into the supernatural, the new nature, and bring forth the fruit from that, the skills from that, the desire from that. I spent too much time trying to pull things out of me, desires and plans that aren't of God. For years I thought the desires and plans in my mind were from God, but as I prayed in the Holy Ghost, He became my teacher, my instructor. He began to help me to see the difference between what is of God and what is left over from man. So here is the lineage of Cain. He passes down. Every generation is a new seed, and it has the power to produce another seed. Now look here, this is what I want to get to. Verse 19, then Lamech took for himself two wives. He got a little greedy. And the name of one was Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah. And Ada bore Jabal. Now here in verse 20, it begins to describe in more detail, not just the birth of a son, the birth of a child, and unfairly, mostly they name the man here, but they're having boys and girls. And so he names the two women, and they give birth. Ada bore Jabal, and he was the son, the great-great-great-grandson of Cain, and all the way to even to Adam. Now within Jabal, it says, Jabal was the father. So whenever you see the word father, that is a reproduction. You're giving birth. You're not ever a father, technically, until you give birth to a child. That's just technically. So technically, to be a father, the word father means a reproducer through seed. Ada bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. So Jabal birthed a whole family of people who dwelled in tents and took care of livestock. And so that is telling you that within the DNA, within the makeup of the seed of Jabal and Ada, his mother, and all the way up to Cain, to Adam, was a desire, a plan to be able to take care of livestock. Some people love livestock. They love to be around them, to smell them, to take care of them, to eat them, to manage them. That's their heart. That's their desire. That's their love. Where did that come from? Did that love to do that? Did that come from God? Did God just put that passion on you? Well, here it says that it came from Jabal. Jabal was the birther. Within him, he found the personality and the DNA and the desire to do those things. That is Jabal. Jabal was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. Verse 21, his brother's name was Jubal. Jubal, he was the father of those who play the harp and the flute. So Jubal, who's the brother of Jabal, they grew up and Jabal wanted to go out and go and take care of livestock and cattle and live in out in the woods in the tent and drink the milk of those things and eat off of them and live off the land. Jubal, he was the father of those who play the harp and the flute. So his lineage, what came from him, this talent and the desire for it came out of Jubal, was to do music. Now, I like music, but to make music, to be able to hear the right tone. Harrison's very skilled and very talented at certain musical things. And to be able to hear the beat and hear the tone and to know what's right and wrong, I'll listen to a song and go, oh, that's beautiful. Someone technical who knows it will listen to the song and say, that's offbeat, that's wrong, that's not right. Jubal was the father of all of these. So these are traits that we can trace back all the way to Jubal. And every musician DNA came, you can trace back, not everyone, but you can basically trace us back, trace them back to where Jubal, he was the father of those who liked to do that. And as for Zillah, She also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Also, there's a girl, so we're good. So here we can see that Jubal, and Tubal-Cain. Tubal-Cain was a guy who liked to work with metal and created and instructed in bronze and iron. And so from these three, you can see that they birthed a whole family of desire for skills, for talent. And so our talent, where did I get the ability to be such a great preacher? That talent, I can give God credit for, but technically, where we got our talent from is from the seed of the family. And I'm just joking about being a great preacher. That came from God, thank you very much. But our skills, our desires, our talents, the good things, not just the bad things. Again, faith can intervene in any of us, our lives, and through faith in us, not by God's choice, but faith in man, man in God, God is able to bring things into our lives, into our families, health, and I would say skills and talents and all those things, yes, by faith. But he doesn't just choose because he's not a respecter of persons. So he just doesn't give one a talent and the other one a bad life. That came through our family lineage. When someone's born and you look at their kids and their kids 3 feet taller than everyone else, they say, well, where in the family did he get his height? And they trace it back to some uncle somewhere. Where in his family did he get the singing? You can trace it down the lineage. You know, there's a lineage that passes down, and this is from the law of Genesis. And so our talent, our ability, our existence in the natural, all those things came from our family line. But now you're born again. This is why I want us to really focus on this and see this. We can take the blame off of God for bad things that are born into this world because it wasn't his doing. That we can blame on Adam. We can blame everything on Adam. You know, if you don't like your nose or you don't like your ears or, you know, all that came from the lineage all the way to Adam. Adam's sin corrupted. We'd all be more different and perfect in God's eyes if Adam never sinned. But now that we're born again, we are born again of another seed, the seed of Christ, the nature of Christ. So my question in all this as I close, are you and I going to allow what we inherited from our natural family, from a corrupt world, is that going to lead us our steps? Is that going to be how we grow in life and then we give it to God? Or are we going to allow God to develop in us who he's made us, the dreams, the desires, the plans of God for your calling that have to come from your spirit, man, because that's your father. He's the father of your spirit. God's not the father of your flesh. But if you're not careful, you'll spend your life living out of the all you inherited from the natural seed. And you'll give it to God, but there's so much more than that. Because if you're going to just give God the good things, you know, what about the things you don't like? What the people who are born broken? The world has horrible experiences. The corrupt world is broken from Adam's failure, Adam's sin. The whole world is in turmoil and broken, and animals are born and vegetables are born, mosquitoes are born, people are born broken and destroyed, and there's so much destruction in the world, and it's not from God, it's from Adam. Adam's sin brought this whole world to devastation. Thank God, God's going to give us, his children, a new earth, a new heavens. This old earth will be folded up like a garment and destroyed. But the children of God will walk with God and fellowship with God. We don't have to wait till heaven for that, by the way. God has a plan for you. And that plan is birthed within your inner man. That means that all the limitations you want to look at from your family, all the things you can inherit from your family, the good and the bad, most of us look at our limitations and we think, I'm limited in what I can do for God because of all these things that I inherited from my family. All these traits, all these health things, physical things, anything. I'm limited. I'm limited by my intellect. I'm limited by my lack of talent, or, you know, I have talent, but everything's limited if you compare it to the wrong people. But in God, in your new nature, in your new birth, when you see that your inner man was brought to life by the new nature, you're a born again creature and you're stuck with this outward body. But the inward man, you can know and have as much of God as you want. You're no longer limited by anything, not by your talent, your ability, your desires, your brokenness, nothing in this world that you inherited from this world, from the seed of Adam, can stop you or limit you anymore, because you're from a seed of Christ. And he's not a respecter of persons. See, in the world, we are born unfairly and inadequately. Some are different than others in many different ways in different cultures. But in God's family, we're all born equal. He's not a respecter of persons. In the world from Adam, there's a respecters of persons, much inequality. But in God's family, we're all equal. We have as much access to God as anyone else. You're not limited, you know, though I'm not an apostle, a prophet, or a pastor, or an evangelist. That shouldn't limit you. You're not limited at all. No one has more access to God than you do. You can have as much of God as you want because you're born of that seed of Christ. You're born in Him. He is your Father. Hope that helped you a little bit. It's such a big, big, big topic for me in the smallest little subject, the power of the seed. Because in the power of the seed, we can begin to understand how man was meant to populate the earth and why and how God was able to get us out of that by giving us a new seed of Christ. Thank God you're born again. Thank God for knowing Him, because we'll never have to be limited again. God bless you.